And if you're just joining us, it is 7:32. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. We're in the studio with four of the five candidates for Sitka Assembly. Michelle Putz, Matt Hunter, Phyllis Hackett, and Aaron Swanson. The fifth candidate, Dallas Peavy, a little under the weather tonight. We hope he gets better, and we're sorry he can't be here with us. But if you want to ask any of these four folks a question, the number is 747-5877. You can also go on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Raven Radio, and you can even tweet, which is just a pleasure to say that word on the radio, tweet. It's at Raven Radio if you want to send us a question on Twitter. You can also email us, news@kcaw.org. Here's a question that was submitted earlier today in writing, and Michelle, we're going to begin this one with you and go around. I'm just going to read it. We often hear public political statements like, we have too many employees in City Hall, we should get rid of a few. These comments are pure demagoguery, however, unless they're backed up by solid plans, this person writes. The person then says that it's hard to downsize the city's workforce because of a variety of factors, collective bargaining, the city's personnel policies. And then here's their question. They've written, if elected, how would you approach this issue? How would you address citizen comments that we have too many public employees? Michelle Putz.
I have definitely heard that as I've run around to the various businesses. I've heard that comment, and that is a tough one. I mean, the reality is you need the people you need to get the work done that you have to do. I don't think you can cut people. They're right. You can't cut people that easily or that quickly because you're going to be cutting into some program that was really important to you without, you know, you can't just cut left and right. So I think we really do need to prioritize and strategize a little before we can do that. We need to look at what needs to get done, what's most important, what do we care about, and that's when you can decide whether you can get a smaller, have a smaller government or not. So I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, but I do think it's important for us to prioritize what needs to get done, because the only way to get the most important things done is to figure out what's most important.
All right. Matt Hunter.
I've become familiar with some of the jobs that city employees do, and I'm not aware of any employees that sit and twiddle their thumbs all day. I would ask people who think there's too many employees to come up with an example and say where they think that a cut could be made, and then maybe educate themselves. Go and ask to be shown around the office and see what people are doing, because I understand the frustration. You see people with good jobs, and everyone wants a good job, and we definitely need them, but I can't really think of any place to make cuts off the top of my head.
Phyllis Hackett, how do you address citizen comments that we have too many public employees?
Well, there's comments I've heard a lot in my 4 years on the Assembly, and I also hear, coupled with that, that our population isn't any bigger than it was in 1985, yet our city government has grown so much, and people don't tend to understand why that is. And I think that the asker of this question, you know, phrased some of the reasons pretty well with collective bargaining and the different things going on. You know, there's a lot more state and federal mandates now that are unfunded that never were before. And every time we put an idea out there of something new that should be done around here, and there's a lot of things, you know, a lot of programs and whatnot, it takes people to run them. So, I would suggest that the requirements of our government are much grander than they ever have been in the past. And, they get grander all the time. And every time they do, it increases the demand on our staff. I personally believe, after being in there and watching, and I came in thinking pretty much the same thing as we're being asked here, that government is big, here in Sitka. But after being in there and watching pretty closely for the last 4 years, I do believe that our city hall is pretty efficient. I do not see a lot of areas of waste. And I do believe that our city administrator has done an excellent job with recognizing areas of inefficiency and fine-tuning them and shifting responsibilities. So.
Aaron Swanson, how do you address citizen comments that we have too many public employees?
I'm wondering if he's referring to the Public Works Department. I don't see that there's too many employees, because every time I'm driving around, I see them always working, whether they're keeping the lawns mowed, keeping your utilities going, Every time I see the public employees, they're always out working hard. They're not standing around watching the other guy work. So if they want to show me where there's too many employees, then excuse me, then maybe I could help them, you know, find ways to better tune the employees in.
All right. So what I hear from many of you is if there are efficiencies to be made, some examples would be helpful in finding where to make those efficiencies. I see some nods. So, okay, let's move on to another question. And if you have a question, again, we want to tell you 747-5877, the number to call. We haven't talked at all, really, other than mentioning it in response to kind of other things. We haven't really talked about the Blue Lake Dam. As many of you know, Sitka had an estimate prepared for how much construction would cost, and it came back saying about $50 million. When the contract bids came in, the lowest was $84 million, the highest was $101 million. Matt Hunter, this question, does this begin with? Yes, it begins with Matt. Some have said that for a fraction of what we're investing in the Blue Lake Dam, we could insulate every building in Sitka or buy everybody a heat pump or find other ways to address our power situation. Is an investment this large in hydropower really the answer? Matt Hunter.
Well, I think it's the right choice to make. The city has placed, I think it was $100,000 out there for people to basically buy people new refrigerators and heat pumps for their homes, and that money's still there now, 6 months later. People have not been taking advantage of that, despite ads in the paper and on the city website and at assembly meetings. We've asked for conservation for many years, and there has been some conservation by some people who have done enormous conservation, and yet we continue to grow. Some of that was due to the price of oil. I think by building this dam, we're going to set ourselves up for future success. No matter what we do, we're going to be using more power if we expand as a community. And let's see, just this past year, we spent a few million dollars on diesel fuel. And that was because it was a relatively dry year. Not super dry, but just relatively dry. This fall is turning out to look awfully wet, which is great. However, if we're spending $3 million a year on diesel fuel, we might as well spend it on concrete instead and get a dam for it at the end of 50 years as opposed to a bunch of empty oil drums.
All right. Phyllis Hackett.
Well, again, this energy situation that we're in has really been examined by a lot of different professionals. And I believe that there are other alternatives out there. However, at this point in time, I don't think the other alternatives are adequately are available in a way that is adequate to supply our needs. And interestingly, there's an entrepreneurial business here in town that needs some business. They have a great opportunity to grow, and they don't need business. They need electricity to run their business, and we don't have the electricity to even supply them, and they are running all of their equipment on propane. So, I mean, this is a very real problem, and this is not a big industry we're talking about. So I do think that at this point in time, our only answer is hydro. And I do believe, I know that the Blue Lake Dam is our only option for additional hydro. And I agree with Matt that the benefits will pay off tenfold in our economic development, our ability to not only bring in new business, but also to sell electricity.
All right. The question is an investment so large in hydropower really the answer to Sitka's energy needs? Aaron Swanson.
Well, this one, it kind of concerns me with the rates, because that's how they're going to pay for the dam, is they got to raise the rates. I hope that it doesn't drive people out of town because the rates get so high that they can't afford their bill. I know that, you know, hopefully that the city did explore all their options, like, say, wind power or solar power or even alternative fuels. I think it's going to be good for the city when the dam is complete to increase the power demand, just like Phyllis said, to support new businesses coming to town.
All right. Michelle Putz, hydropower.
So this one's interesting for me because, of course, I have solar panels on my roof. I have an electric car. I have wood heat. I've looked into windmills and stuff. And so knowing, and then also I've talked to some of the fish processors here in town, and they have had to turn down taking in fish now because they can't, they don't have enough power to get it frozen, to do the fish processing. So that's not just new development. That's like right this moment. So while I would love to see, a heat pump in every home in Sitka as long as well as a wood stove, I still don't think that we can save our way to having enough power to do all the things that we want to do. And I think that there are more businesses that could be in Sitka if we had some more power. So I think this is probably our best option, but we need to do both, because if we don't do both, we'll have to develop tackets that much quicker. So both.
Talking with the assembly candidates tonight on Raven Radio for the next, 17 minutes. 17 minutes. Up until the top of the hour, we'll be here in our studio answering your questions. And here's one on Facebook from Nancy. And let's see here. Phyllis, we'll begin with you. Nancy asks, do you think the city should or should not be providing financial support to local nonprofits? Phyllis Hackett.
That is a fairly easy answer for me. And that answer is yes, in capital letters. Our city has no commission even on health and social services. We provide no health and social services in this city. It's a very unusual situation. And we have a lot of people in need of services. And aside from the fact that the nonprofits, there aren't all social services, the majority of them are, aside from the fact that they provide all of the social services for everybody in the community, they also bring in an incredible amount of economic development into this community in new money, which is clearly identified as the type of money we need. We need money circulating around from our own dollars, but we need new money into this community as well. And nonprofits, through the grants they receive from out of the community, which is the grand majority of them, is a huge economic boon for us. So in every regard, yes.
All right. Same question to you, Aaron Swanson.
Well, it depends on the nonprofit organization. If it's a social service, then I would definitely approve more funding for them as opposed to, say, a nonprofit that, you know, is not a social service. I like that they bring in, you know, people like the Fine Arts Camp brings in all those kids who are going to turn spend money downtown, which generates more income for the city.
All right. Michelle Putz, city support for nonprofits, yes or no?
I agree that we do need to have some level of support. Definitely social services is an important one. Hospice care, imagine not having that in Sitka and us not supporting it. It would be crazy. But I also know that even small amounts of support, when you're trying to get a grant, if you can show that the city has some level of support for you, it's a lot easier to get grants to bring in money. So I think it is important for us to have some level of funding for not-for-profits.
All right. And Matt Hunter, what are your thoughts on nonprofits and city support?
I'm also a supporter of nonprofit grants. Specifically for the ones that provide the services that help Sitkins. Look at Braveheart Volunteers, SCAPS Counseling, YAS, that's Youth Advocates of Sitka. You've got Southeast Alaska Independent Living, the Safe Shelter, all these things that, if they did not exist, would cost the city enormous amounts of money to provide these services for people who would otherwise be really struggling and who in many cases struggle despite the services that are offered. There's so many people that benefit. A small contribution can be leveraged into enormous grant funds, which come from outside, as they mentioned. And we need to continue to support those nonprofits specifically because there's definitely over 100 jobs, if not more than that, that are directly tied to nonprofits in this town. It's a huge sector of our community.
All right. Another Facebook question here from Jonas Parker. Jonas asks, I'd be really curious about the candidates' positions on the timber industry. Specifically, what role does sustainable forestry play in Sitka's future? Is there room for expansion, and how can the city support this blossoming industry? Aaron Swanson, let's begin that with you, and it's a three-parter, so address any or all of those, please.
I support the sustainable forestry as long as, you know, if you're going to log them, then you're going to have to replant them. I think that's key to sustaining the forest. I don't think that they should be logging big sections of the forest, because, you know, it's definitely a habitat for wildlife. I know I like to go hunting, so keeping the forest there is also a big plus for me.
And how can the city support that?
Support the forestry? Mm-hmm. Well, they can, you know, it's more of a Forest Service issue, I think, than it is a city issue, so it's more of a federal.
All right. Michelle Putz, sustainable forestry, and whether the city, or how can the city support it?
So I work for the Forest Service, and I've always loved the mission of the Forest Service, the idea of trying to both use your resources like the forest, but use it sustainably, because if it doesn't last, then you don't have it for the next generation. So yes, the Forest Service, the Tongass, is definitely working on sort of a second growth planning. And the city can support that by essentially, you know, when we propose a project, sending in a letter that says, hey, we are supportive of you trying to do it. I do support some level of timber harvest. The second growth stuff, a lot of the thinning, I mean, we've already done some thinning and allowed people to use it for firewood, which everybody in Sitka always wants firewood. It's going to take a while around Sitka anyway, because the trees are still quite small. So it's going to be a while before anything can happen. But, I think that it is an industry that can help. It is something that we could get firewood out of, small products, some pretty neat products. You know, we can market the Tongass.
All right. Matt Hunter, same question to you, sustainable forestry.
Well, obviously, Michelle knows more about what the Forest Service ins and outs are than I do. I would support small businesses that would perhaps gather firewood for locals through the thinning projects they do on existing clear cuts. And I think a big opportunity for us, which I understand there's quite the political conundrum there, would be the Blue Lake Valley, which has over 3 million board feet of timber back there. And a lot of it's old growth. And this is locked up due to some federal policies, as I understand. I have not participated in the actual discussions with that. But when this dam raises up 83 feet, the inundation zone goes back a few miles into some phenomenal timber back there. And if there's any way to keep mills alive in the region, let alone locals harvesting wood for personal use or new totem poles or firewood, whatever, we need to take advantage of that, because it'd be a real shame to see this this resource just be wasted underwater.
All right. And Phyllis Hackett, the same question to you about sustainable forestry and how the city can support it.
Well, sustainable forestry really is the mission of the Forest Service. And I think the biggest thing the city can do is support the Forest Service efforts. And there have been numerous efforts recently, and I believe they've been fairly well supported by the city. And I think that should continue. And I also think that there is a market for woods products and entrepreneurial business in woods products. And I think that I would hope that the Forest Service would be able to help as well in lightening up on some of the regulations that are pretty cumbersome for individuals to navigate.
All right. This next question is going to begin with Michelle, and it's about the school board. And education. The relationship between the school board and the assembly kind of grew tense this year, or was tense at points this year, when the board asked for its annual city contribution. Just to explain, that the city has to give an amount of money annually to the school district, and it's between a minimum and then there's a cap up in the higher end. So Michelle, where are you on education funding? And, basically, should the city be tighter with its money or fund the district to the cap, or neither, or somewhere in between? Where do you stand on that?
I think in the end, it's going to be somewhere in between. The city's budget is getting tighter and tighter. The school's budget is probably going to have to do the same, simply because there is not an unlimited amount. I do think as the schools have been working towards figuring out some of the stuff, like their math education and other stuff, I think it's going to help to make that relationship a bit better. But I think we have to fund our schools well because a lot of people count on really good schools, but I don't see that we're going to be able to give them the maximum amount every time. There just isn't going to be that opportunity.
All right, Matt Hunter, you're a teacher at Mount Edgecombe High School. Your thoughts on education funding toward the Sitka School District, between the cap and the minimum, or just anywhere in between there?
Regardless of how much we give the school board, I think the most beneficial thing we could do would be guarantee a set number and say you're getting this amount of money next year so that they can plan. That's the most important thing. If they don't know what they're getting or have no idea where to start, then that's a disaster from a budget standpoint. So that would be the first priority. Second, if one of the reasons I love Sitka is we have a phenomenal school district. I graduated from Sitka in 2001. I got a great education. I'm very proud of the education I got there, and I'm proud of our schools. And if we look at that as a source of saving large quantities of money, I think we're going to harm our youth, and we're going to see people leave town because our schools aren't as good as they should be. And a lot of people are here, I believe, because we have great schools, and they're willing to make it work because they want their kids to get the best education they can, and they believe that happens in Sitka.
All right. Phyllis Hackett, education funding.
We used to fund our education to the cap. We always did. We did for years and years and years. We have not since I've been on the assembly. I am a avid supporter of the schools. My kids both graduated from school here, but aside from that, as I grow older, I really do want educated people making decisions for me. So I will continue to support schools. I agree with Matt about a strategy for set funding. I really don't know that much about it. I heard my first bit about it actually last week, and I would love to see the school board bring something before the assembly for us to grapple with. As always, you know, funds are down everywhere, and everybody across the board is going to need to compromise and take a bit of a hit. But I am an avid supporter of school funding.
All right. Aaron Swanson, school funding, where do you stand?
I think that the school board probably needs more funding than what they are getting. I do like the idea that Matt came up with the cap, you know, so that they can plan and budget. But I definitely think that the school board needs to come up with a plan and say, you know, this is what we need the money for, and this is how we're going to increase student test scores. And that, I think, if you have a better school, then you will see better students, which will in turn be better adults when they grow up and live here.
All right. We are coming up on the end of our time together, and I want to do in reverse of the order we introduced ourselves. I want to begin with you, Michelle, and go down this way, down the line. And I'm wondering if this is your chance to just tell Sitka what makes you different. How do you stand apart from the other candidates? Why should they vote for you on October 2nd?
I guess people should vote for me. It relates to that strategy priority stuff. I think that's something that I'm really quite good at looking at a starting point and ending point, looking at some of the pitfalls in between and trying to avoid those pitfalls. So that's something I'm pretty good at. And then I also have a lot of experience sort of within a government entity. I realize that a government like the city is more like the maple than like the boat that I drive at home, kind of like something I saw in the paper. It really is true that things are going to go slower than anybody thinks. So we have to work together, and we have to realize it's going to go slow, but if we think it out, we can do well.
All right. Matt Hunter, same question to you. Why should Sitkins vote for you on October 2nd?
I'm a good listener, and I'm committed to listening to the public. I recognize that the more voices we have heard, the better our solutions will be. And As part of being a good listener, it's being honest and open in your decision making. And I recognize that probably the hardest part for me about serving on the assembly is knowing that I'm going to make a decision that people I respect and in some cases love may disagree with. And I'm going to do the absolute best I can. I'm going to listen to anybody who has input. And if I disagree, I'll say why, and I'll like to continue the discussion as long as it's respectable and doesn't go too late on a school night, like into the AM. So I'm committed to Sitka long term.
All right. Phyllis Hackett, why should people cast their vote for you on October 2nd?
Well, first off, I think that I've worked really hard on the assembly. I take it very seriously. I study very hard. I listen to anybody who would like to talk with me about any issue. I agree with people and I disagree. I believe in diversity. And I think it's a wonderful thing that we need to embrace. I always try to make educated decisions. And aside from that, there's several really complex issues that we're grappling with right now. And I just believe that some institutional historic knowledge and background and continuity is really important at this point in time. Hard to believe that I am almost have the highest seniority in the assembly, and I've only been there 4 years. It's a very interesting structure that gives us 4 or 3 years to learn how to do this really involved and difficult job. So I think institutional knowledge will be very valuable to us.
All right. And finally, Aaron Swanson, why should people vote for you on October 2nd?
Well, I'm a hard worker. I do the job right the first time. I don't try to go around and do it a second time. I want to just get it done correctly the first time. I've had, experience managing rental properties, so I think that the city budget shouldn't be too much different than managing, a rental property. So I have experience with the housing market to possibly help bring affordable housing here to Sitka.
All right. Well, thanks again, everybody, for joining us. Thank you to the candidates for taking time tonight to be here and answer phone calls and emails and Facebook posts and all of that. The four candidates in the studio are Michelle Putz, Matt Hunter, Phyllis Hackett, and Aaron Swanson. Dallas Peavy, the fifth candidate, called in just, a little under the weather tonight. We hope he feels better. Tomorrow we're going to do the same thing with the three candidates for mayor beginning at 6:35 p.m. And Wednesday, it is all about education. The two candidates for school board will be here to answer your calls. Thanks tonight to Robert Woolsey for answering the phones and for relaying emails, and to both he and Ken Fate for their technical assistance in setting up this air room for the larger than usual number of people who are in here tonight. And also thanks to all of you for participating and sending your thoughts. Fred is in next, I believe, with Mississippi Delta Lines, if I have that right, and a great evening of programming ahead here on Raven Radio. Also, kcaw.org has all the information you could possibly want on this election. Lots of profiles of the candidates and all kinds of things for you to peruse. We'll be posting the audio from tonight on there as well. Headline News is next from NPR or the BBC, one of those two news organizations, and then we'll be back tomorrow night with much more on Election 2012. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ed Ronco. Good night.